Good morning. Good morning. Notices for this morning are as follows. An advance notice that on Saturday, the 16th of March, at 10 a.m. at the Jump Church, that's in the Barnsley circuit, there'll be a day for growing disciples and growing churches. I know it's a long way. If anyone does want to go, they can see me for more information. The notices for next week are as follows. On Wednesday, the 14th, there's a prayer meeting, and it'll be 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by Paul Whitehead, and the worship warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. It's my pleasure to welcome this morning Alan Blatchford. It's lovely to have you with us again, Alan, and I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
An interesting trip for me this morning. Because they closed the road down here because of an incident last night. I then used my sat-nav to try and get round it, and everywhere I went, I hit another roadblock. And I was getting a little bit anxious because time was passing. And I've only come from across the other side from our church at APEC. I dropped my wife off this morning. But it's good to be with you. And we're going to start with a hymn. 289, Jesus is King, and I will extol him. You hear, you're all in good voice. Let's commend ourselves to God in prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we've just sung those very words, Jesus, the Saviour, our Saviour, forever the same. And we thank you this morning, our Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his obedience to you in going to the cross, paying the price that we should pay for sin. and you've exalted him. You've given him a name that is above every name. And one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And we thank you for this morning that we've been able to sing that hymn together, that Jesus is King. And we pray that as we spend our time together this morning, as we praise you and as we listen to what you have to say to us, we pray we may all be blessed, encouraged in our Christian walk. There may be those, Father, who are unwell, who need that healing touch from yourself. We pray a blessing upon them. For others, Father, as we consider the world situation, Father, we're at a loss as to know what to exactly ask for. But Father, we pray that peace may reign, negotiations may take place, and peace be returned to this warring world. So we commit ourselves to you for this morning. Be with us, we pray, as we ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again, and during this song we'll take up the offering. A new one for me, 914, Love Songs. Let's give thanks for this offering, shall we? Father, we thank you for the generosity of your people. Father, these gifts are given to you for your service and for your work. We pray that those who administer will be blessed and given wisdom as they discern where it goes. Give you our thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Our readings this morning are first of all from 2 Kings chapter 5. There you go. You can read it yourself. Right, hopefully my glasses are better. I had to go to the optician on Friday and get my glasses mended because this lens fell out. Fortunately, they put it back without any problem. So 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he was a leper. He had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes, his robes, and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses, chariots, and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away in a rage and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over this spot and cure me of my leprosy. Arnah, Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let your servant be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offering and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm and I bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace," Elisha said. And then just one couple of verses in Romans. Romans chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Now we know God will bless the reading of his word to us, and as we consider it in a few moments' time. We're going to sing again, 1287 in the book, "Hover Over Me." I suspect if I asked you, maybe individually, you could probably recite the story of Naaman off by heart. I remember hearing it when I was this high. Can't believe that, can you? When I was at college, we had one of the lectures we had was on report writing, how to do technical reports. And I always remember the lecturer said, it's quite easy really, it is three C's. You need to be clear, you need to be complete, and you need to be concise. And that's always stuck with me. But what makes a good story? We read one, we've just read a very simple, simple story. Language is simple. A wonderful story. But what makes a good story? Well, most, even fictional novels that I read, start with building up a wonderful picture. So the writer sets the background. Then there comes a note of tragedy to upset that wonderful picture. Then there comes a ray of hope. And all stories end with happy ever after, don't they? Well, the story of Naaman is like that. The wonderful picture we have built up is Naaman himself. The tragedy was that he had leprosy. The ray of hope came in the form of a little maid. And then we eventually find the happy ever after is the tragedy is removed. And if we equate that to ourselves, there's a parallel in our experience. If we class ourselves as Naaman, the leprosy that he had is the sin that we all have. The Bible makes it quite clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no exception. And then the River Jordan reminds us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It washed, cleansed his leprosy, or doing what he was told, cleansed his leprosy. And so we can know the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the account. So Naaman. Well, in verse 1, we have three things that tell us about Naaman. Four, actually. First of all, we're told he was a great man. He was captain of the king's soldiers. His master was the king. You can't get much higher than that in society. He was a great man. He was honourable. He was highly regarded. That means he could be depended upon. He could be trusted. The king had given him command of the whole of his army. He was a mighty man of valour, it says. A valiant soldier, a brave warrior. What a wonderful picture. But when the Bible says but, it means sit up and pay attention. But he had leprosy. He was a leper. In all other circumstances, he would have been an outcast. Underneath all that shining armour, leprosy. Fortunately, we don't hear a great deal about it in this country and many Western countries these days. But I wonder this morning, is there anyone we know like that? Anyone here feel like that? Worried about the COVID pandemic? Oh, you say it's gone away now. No, it hasn't. It's still here. A bit like flu now, we can actually vaccine against it, or the effects of it. But I wonder if there's anyone here this morning got an aching heart, hidden behind a smiling face, or a troubled mind hidden by a successful job. It's hidden from man, maybe. Maybe even from your nearest and dearest, but you can't hide it from God. God sees what is on the inside, the state of our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. That's scary. God knows our thoughts. And I think of some of the thoughts I've had in my 60 plus years. God knows. But there's hope. There's a ray of hope in a little maid. Now, there are seven things about this little maid in verses 2, 3, and one a bit later on. She could have been very malicious, couldn't she? Serves him right. He captured me out of Israel. Why should I help him? But she didn't. She had compassion. The first thing we read in verse 2 is that she was a young or little girl. A young maiden. I always remember some years ago, we were at Cape and Ray and Peter Maiden was speaking. He's a well-known preacher. He's with the Lord now. But one of the musicians was a female. It was a men's weekend. And there was a female playing the keyboard sort of thing. So she disappeared when he got up to speak sort of thing. He said, don't worry, there's more than one maiden here. But here was a little maiden. Second thing we learn is she was captive. She was young, little. She was captive. She was an Israelite. She was from Israel. She was in a foreign country. Well, we hear quite a bit about that in the news these days, don't we, about people being captured and kept captive in foreign parts. But she confessed God. Even though she was captive, even though she was effectively a slave, she confessed God. I think one version, or our version, refers to it as a prophet, or reminded her of the prophet. So she had sympathy, verse 3. She told of the prophet, and verse 15, she was the means of salvation. Children can be the means of wondrous things. The story is told of a child who asks his dad, said, is God dead? The father replies, no, why do you ask? The child said, I used to hear you talking to him. I don't anymore. That was a young child who would ask that question. So here we have a little maid. Although she's young, captive, an Israelite, confessed God, had sympathy, told of the prophet, and it led to salvation or restoration. Well, Naaman made a few mistakes, didn't he? There's seven of these as well. First thing we read in verse 5 is he wanted to pay for his restoration. In verse 5 it says this, by all means go, the king of Aram replied. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver. That's about £750 worth of silver. Or if you want it in new money, it's 340 kilograms. He must have had a fair few mules to carry all that weight. And on top of that, 6,000 shekels of gold. That's only about £150. Or 70 kilograms. And 10 changes of raiment. I didn't realise the journey was that long. But 10 changes of raiment. And the letter from the king. But he wanted to pay for his restoration. One thing we need to be clear of this morning, salvation is free. Don't hear that these days, do you? Salvation is free. The Lord Jesus Christ has already paid the price for our sin. Romans 6, verse 23. Let's go find it. It says here, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." The wages of sin is death. The only outcome for us as sinners, and the Bible wrote again elsewhere in Romans, it says, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's standard. The payment for that is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, says this: "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." The only way we can be saved, can be right with God, is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what was that text I read earlier in Romans chapter 6? "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God." Is that your experience? Is that what you understand? So Naaman wanted to pay for his restoration. That reminds us that salvation is free. All it means is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No financial or asset payment. Verse 6 tells us that he went into the wrong person. In the right way, but he went to the wrong person. He brought the letter to a king, who we read tore his clothes, had a fit, raged. I wonder if there's someone here searching today. It's sad to say that people today, like Naaman, who go to an earthly king instead of God's honoured people, to priests for confession, confessing their sins to a man. There are all sorts of other false cults, apart from all the multiplicity of multimedia that's around today. There has always been these false cults. Only Jesus can forgive. We can't forgive you. Only God can. We can only point you in the right direction. So the wrong person in the right way. The wrong spirit to the right person, we read in verses 9 and 10, where he actually got to Elisha. Wrong spirit. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him: "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Well, he's indignant because he's an important man, and all he got was the servant. He didn't get Elisha himself until later on. I wonder this morning, go into the wrong spirit, albeit to the right person. Maybe you know that only the Lord Jesus can deal with your need. The question is, do you want him to? Is your attitude right? It's individual. Your spouse or nearest and dearest can't do it for you. Naaman had horses, chariot, servants, wealth. But he had to have the right attitude and do something himself. So he wanted to pay for his restoration. He went to the wrong person in the right way. He went to the wrong spirit to the right person. Fourthly, the word that was given was not received. Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. He wanted a magic wand over him, didn't he? The word given was not received. Maybe you've been to many services like this, but still rejecting God. Maybe you've heard about salvation many times before and rejected it. Well, let's carry on with the story of Naaman, shall we? So what was the word given? Well, this is Elisha's prescription we see in verse 10. First thing he says is go. That's responsibility. Secondly, wash yourself. Applicability. Seven times, extremity. In the Jordan, locality. And your flesh, individuality, will be restored, certainty, and you will be cleansed. Recovery. Got that? Responsibility, applicability, extremity, locality, individuality, certainty, recovery. That was Elisha's prescription. And Naaman didn't like it. He wanted a show of outward religion. We saw that in the second part of verse 11. He wanted Elisha to come out and go, poof. When God speaks, even today, it is not always with a great noise and spectacular events. In our small group that we've been running for a few months now, we're just getting to the end of Revelation. We haven't done the whole Bible, you understand. We started chapter 1 of Revelation. And it's just that things get in the way. We normally meet weekly. And there are some horrible things coming up in the world. When you dig into it, I had about 4 commentaries on Revelation. Some of the commentators differ on the particular interpretation. But there are some horrible things coming, really horrible. And then God will use the ultimate power of his wrath on the earth. But if we're a believer, we'll have gone before. We'll have been the rapture. But often, it is a still small voice that God speaks to us. And there's quiet times when you're peaceful, quiet, still, reading your Bible, maybe praying. God will speak to you. Sometimes he speaks with a slightly louder voice, as he did to me once, many years ago. So he wanted to show outward religion. Sixthly, he wanted to wash in the wrong river. Arnon, Abana, and Pharpar, much better rivers than this dirty water in Israel. There is only one way for salvation. There is no other. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's only one way to be saved, to be right with God. And then verse 12 reminds us that he went away in a rage. I wonder, is there anybody here this morning angry with God because he does not appear to hear you? Are you obeying him? Do you have the right attitude? So Naaman's mistakes remind us that you can't pay for your salvation. There is only one right person. You have to have the right attitude. You have to accept the word given. It's not religious. Listen to God. That still small voice. Do the right thing and don't get angry. Well, that was Naaman's mistakes. The cure for Naaman came as a result of this one, you're all right, there's only three things, not seven. Verse 13. A bit of wise reasoning. The servant comes up and said, look, if it asks you to do something really great and brave and soldierly, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? So what's wrong with you dipping in a dirty, muddy river? I wonder if someone's invited you here today. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've been many times. So wise reasoning. Secondly, in verse 14, we're told it was without reserve. He dipped seven times. Salvation for us comes by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he shed his blood for us on the cross. Wise reasoning, without reserve, and then wonderful result, clean as a young boy. Well, there's some of us older ones would love to come up like that, wouldn't we? A wonderful result. I wonder if you know the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the knowledge of sins forgiven. Naaman did. Naaman got the picture, because in verse 15 he says, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Well, God isn't confined to Israel. God is available to all of us, and his love extends to all of us. And he confessed. He openly showed it. Now, I always like to include this, and it's particularly pertinent because next Sunday at our church we're having a baptismal service when two young ladies are going to be baptised. Apparently I'm going to get wet as well as one of the people doing the baptising. But maybe there's someone here, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, have you been baptised? I'm not talking about christening. The Bible doesn't talk about christening at all. Baptism, full immersion, when you're of an age to understand it. What will happen next week, I expect, is there's two young ladies, but the young lady will come down the steps into the water. Two of us will be there to receive her. And then we'll take her, we'll ask her a question, and then we'll push her under the water. And then we'll pull her back out again. All very quickly. But what does it mean? What's already happened in the hearts of those ladies is they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. They've asked him into their heart and life. Now they want to visually demonstrate what has happened. And when you go down into the water, you're identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death into the water. When they're pushed under the water, you're identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in his burial. And you've guessed it, haven't you? When they come out of the water, identify with the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. I always remember someone some time ago when we had a baptismal service said that there's nothing special about the water. We might warm it up just so it's not so cold. It's not been blessed. There's nothing special about the water. He said, it's the same water you use to make the tea with. But I don't think he meant it quite like that. But in other words, it comes from the same source. It just comes from the tap. We heat it up. Just so that we don't freeze while we're down there. But it is simply a picture, a visual demonstration of what's already taken place in a person's heart. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your saviour, what's stopping you from being baptised? I'll leave you with that. We have a closing song, which is 1661. You chose the cross, lost in wonder. Thank you. Let's say the grace together, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.